traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I was like, bro, that's security. That's security. We're past curfew and they told us not to drive golf carts in this area. We're going to get kicked out. We're like of Puerto Rico. You turn off the golf cart.
You know, every single day, every single time we open this impulsive podcast, all of us are thinking the same thing. Damn, we're rusty. This show's going to suck today. And I promise you, that's the thought that's going through every... Well, okay, I know George is going to say not me, but me and Logan's minds are like, damn, I'm rusty.
I was thinking that.
The same. And then every time we do a show, we're like, that was amazing, bro.
Welcome back to Impulse, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing. I hope we can live up to that standard. I feel like you've set the expectation very high.
I do that. I always do that.
Right off the rip. We are, believe it or not, we're in Puerto Rico. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, let's just run it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Look at this set, bro.
There used to be a panel of plywood just behind me covering this window. It had Impulsive on it. I actually can see it. We had our set designers from LA, Mike Orth, shout out Mike Orth, come to Puerto Rico and build this set. I think I like it a lot. I don't know how it translates on camera. Make sure you guys comment below and let us know what you think. If it's shit, like tell us. Tell us if you think we should change it. But we like the kind of laid back couch vibe. Like look at Georgie right now, looking way too comfortable.
I'm so cozy right now.
Yeah, I can tell.
I got my feet up.
Let me see those toes.
No, bro. Put out your toes.
Absolutely not.
No, please don't.
I'm very self-conscious about my toesies.
I watched Mike come out of the bathroom earlier, and he looked more Adam Sandler-esque than ever. I mean, you look homeless. It's fine.
Is it the beard or like what is it exactly?
It's your baggy cargo pants.
Really? I've been getting a lot of compliments on these pants.
Well, I was gonna compliment you just now.
Yeah.
Because I feel like George and I made the wrong decision. My balls are hanging out, brother.
That's why I put pants on.
These short shorts are not doing us well, Judge. I got a bulge, I will say.
Well, I'm rocking boxers. I just started getting to boxers again. And let me tell you, briefs, they suffocated my dick for a couple of years until I realized that that's no go for me anymore.
You have BDE, Georgie.
What is that?
Arabian. That's it. You're an Arabian.
So look, the boys are back in town. Where should we even start? Is there anything like socially, like is there any cultural shit that we should talk about?
I mean, I got one right off the bat. Sure. Dune, Timothée Chalamet. By the way, shout out Timothée Chalamet.
That kid's popping right now. And kid fucks.
Oh, yeah,
like, kid fucks.
Like, dude. Do you mean it in the way like people say, yo, that kid so fucks, or you mean like he's fucking?
Nah, that kid's fucking, dude.
You gotta ask him out with him?
I doubt it, bro. That's what I'm saying. Timothée Chalamet he's the young Hollywood playboy right now. I'm just gonna call it as it is. He's the coolest dude in Hollywood, young man in Hollywood. He's killing.
He's number one.
I didn't see this movie.
And it will. So it's not out yet. Maybe by the time this comes out, it is. But I got invited to this premiere through FaZe Clan or whatever at Warner Brothers, and I got the opportunity to go see the movie. And it's him. It's Zendaya.
Yeah.
I said that correct, right? Yeah. Josh Brolin and all these massive actors and actresses. And first and foremost, this movie was fucking phenomenal. Like the way it was shot, the way that it was written, everything about this movie was incredible. The sound, I was blown away by the entire movie. But one thing that really upset me was that the movie took place in the year 10,219. And I was sitting there in 2021 thinking to myself, these dudes are going to look back at us scrawled on, you know, on a wall as cartoon characters in a cave or on like YouTube or some shit and be like, these dudes were fucking morons.
Idiots.
Morons. It's like us looking back at the Pilgrims. They're like, we found Plymouth Rock. Let's eat a turkey. More idiots. Dude, they're going to look back at us and they're going to be like these primitive fucks flying from city to city in metal tube trying to get a sniff of a butthole. Like, idiots. These dudes are walking around. They walk around and the light follows them. It's a little orb that follows them as they walk and they're able to talk through like thinking and shit.
I don't have any of those.
What are we going to do? And it upset me even more just to know that I won't see how this movie ends. And that, not Dune, but this movie. Like, we, make no mistake, we're going to die a quarter of the way through here, man. That's fucking whack.
Through this podcast?
I mean, potentially.
We're losing. Like, no, you're right. I do this all the time. I say this about, like, I go, yo, we are a very, very simple species. The wheel? Don't get me started on the fucking wheel.
Not this again, Caleb.
That's the best we got. The fucking wheel. It's been like this for 2,000 years plus.
Assyrians built that, by the way.
Way to fucking be.
I just found out about that. I was so pumped.
It's such a great invention.
We're very simple. And in the same, dude, I have a funny story that actually leads into this. Okay.
To the wheel?
No, this is funny. All right. This is how stupid we are. People, the human race, our species. Bro, we'll be at a campfire or you're like chilling, hanging out, right? And there's like one light on. It's dark outside. We're all like chilling, smoking, drinking by whatever it's hanging. And like every now and then, a little bug will fly into the light, and we'll be like, "This fucking stupid bug,
These
fucking, look at them. Don't they see their friends dying or they're going to the light? They all die."
Bro, we were chilling last night, maybe like 11:30, just driving around the compound in our golf carts, and we're hanging out just by a spot, and we see this light. In the distance, it's the one beam of light, and all of us were like, "Yo, what do you think that is? What is that? What do you think? Should we go?
Dude, is that that?
Should we go to the light?"
Obviously,
all of us got in our carts, like fucking stupid little bugs, and started driving towards this light. And I'm like, "We are so,
we are so excited. Like,
there's no difference between the insect with no brain and us, which, by the way, we're mammals with like a kind of a brain. It's the best on this planet. Who knows? But." Anyways, what happened was the light turned off. We all stopped because we were lost little bugs now with no purpose in life. We're all like, bah. And then we see a security car coming. Wow. And it ended up being a security car. And we knew this because Jake called me. He's like, "Yo, there's that light," because he was going to meet us. He goes, "There's like cops or something and security." And I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, this is a perfect opportunity to fuck with George, who's right behind me in the golf cart. And so he pulls up next to me and I'm like, "Bro, get out of the golf cart right now. Get out. And he's like, "What do you mean? I'm like, "Turn your lights off. Turn your lights off." So I'm freaking out.
Bro, like, by the way, he needs an Oscar for this award. Like, I hit my head jumping out of the fucking thing because I was so scared.
I was like, "Bro, that's security. We're past curfew and they told us not to drive golf carts in this area. We're going to get kicked out. We're like, of Puerto Rico. You turn off the fucking golf cart."
Deported.
And I'm going to get deported. And so security starts coming and George is looking at me like this. What the fuck? And I'm like, bro. They told us not to drive the golf carts here. Drive it into the lake. We have to drive the golf carts into that lake right there. We're next to like a little lake on the golf course. Yo, this fucking dude jumps in his cart, hits his head, and goes to make the turn. Starts driving. This dude is about to ditch a golf cart in a lake in a residential compound, dude.
Be a free thinker.
He was my boy. He was panicking. And I was like, "Ask for forgiveness later." I was like, "My boy needs this. I can't be sitting around." We were all very panicked.
And high.
I wasn't. I can't get high until two more days.
Yeah, what? Yeah, you're on like some sort of
30-day cleanse.
That sucks.
I know. Yeah. I got another airport story, by the way. It's not.
Are you fucking serious?
I'm convinced I can't be on the plane without some shit happening. I swear to God. And if you're at home, you're like, "This guy's a fucking liar. All he wants to do is talk." You're probably right. I honestly, at this point, I'm probably lying. But we're going, and Danny looks at me and she goes, "Hey, I don't know what to do here. Mike took a jet to Puerto Rico, and we have one more first class ticket. Like, what do I do?" I say, "Look, listen to me, D. You take that fucking seat." And she goes, "Really?" I go, "What are they going to do? They're going to like kick you out of the chair. You can't fuck it. You have the ticket. Just scan yourself in as Mike Malak and nothing will happen." She's like, "Yeah." I was like, "They're not going to assume, right? They're not going to assume that she's not Mike Malak." I realize our plane's not moving. And I was like, "All right, we're in first class." I have a video of Danny. She's going through first class. She's so excited. She's so happy. She turns to me. She goes, "Our chairs have massage chairs." I go, "Yeah, I know. Massage yourself." She's leaning back into a bed. She's making her bed. I even tucked her in a little bit. I go, "Yeah." I go, "You deserve this." I
petted her head like and gave her a little kiss. I
go, "Go to bed. We'll wake you up when they bring us dinner."
That's fire, bro. What else did you do with my assistant?
He's like, "I fucking tucked her in, man."
Then you hear on the... "Danielle Estrell, please identify yourself." I go, "There's no way." Now I learned hours later they were trying to get Caleb to snitch. They're like, "Where is she? She clocked in. Where is she?"
Because they saw y'all together.
And it's the same ticket. We bought the same.
She's probably on the plane somewhere.
Like, come on, we won't say anything. Where is she, man? I was like, "Oh shit!" So she gets up, her heart's racing, bro. She's like, "Am I in trouble?" And I go, "I don't know. Stop talking to me. I don't know you." Because everybody in first class is looking down on us. And I'm like, "Who are you?" Like, they're like, "You tucked her in." Like, no, that's not me. They take her off the plane, bro. Off the plane. And I go, "Bet she's gone."
So it's a wrap. It's a wrap. Over. Find a new assistant.
She comes back like 10 minutes later, bro. And this is fucked because everybody in first class is already smack talking. This is the reason why we're late. This lady's trying to sneak into first class. Immediately I jump in. I go, "This fucking girl's crazy. I can't believe she did that." She comes in right. And this is the worst part. I'm like talking smack. She comes this close to my face. She goes, "You'll never believe what happened." I go, "Listen, lady, I don't need to know." She tells me, she goes, "Oh, dude, like they go, don't worry. We refund Mike Malak's ticket." She's like, "But you're going to need to go back to your seat." So she goes, "I'm going to sit here." I go, Danny.
No.
The rich don't fuck around. They're going to ask you to move. Literally 2 seconds later, all of them come. They go, "Hi, Danny. Can we see your ticket?" And she's like, "No, I'm leaving." And she like literally gets up and leaves. So my excited ass, I go, "Okay, bet. I'm going to sit in hers because hers is like even a better seat." So I jump there. I asked for permission, by the way, because I got nervous. Like cops. Yeah. I go, "Can I sit in there?" Because the peasant went back to the coach. So can I go back? And she's like, "Yeah." So I jump in there. Immediately, I get excited to put my phone in while we're taking off. Slips out of my hand, falls. We take off, slides underneath my chair. I go, "Okay, no problem. I'll just get it after we're done."
That's not how it works, buddy.
There's look at Zoom. This big of a spot open, right? Falls right in there. I asked the guy, I go, "Hey, my wallet is attached. If you guys see that," I go, "I can't get to Puerto Rico and I already missed one flight. And let me tell you, I haven't heard the end of it." The guy goes, "Don't worry." Both of them trying, sweating, bro. They're like, "Oh, I can't, we can't get
you." You need a mechanic, but you,
yeah,
do know,
you know that.
They
right?
took no, apart you have to take the seat. That yeah. chair you have in to. Front of me.
Yeah.
For 30 minutes, yes. I watched a man literally detach this chair.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there watching. And by the way, super mad. Not like, "Oh, don't worry, this happens all the time." He's like,
"It's a thing. Dude, it's a thing. I've had a flight be delayed for an hour because they were fixing a seat."
Yep.
I've never... Those seats are more confusing than the human brain in the ocean. We know more about those seats, about our brain, than we do those seats.
Imagine being in the year 10,000. They're looking back like, "Look at these.
Just can't even fucking...
These
they don't even
fucking lost morons. They lost this fucking little device thing that they stare at all day into the fucking seat."
I have an airport story. It's again, it's kind of about our species. It's just, I'm going to piggyback. I'm sorry, dude.
Commercial flight?
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
must be nice.
What?
You guys flying commercial, huh?
Oh, you flew in on a PJ. Dude.
Your friend's PJ, bitch. I
Max, no, he's
you
right,
were
he's
a guest. Right. Don't flex on us.
He's right. He's
look
right.
Look at the fucking cock on this guy. Nah.
He was right.
It was a commercial flight, and I am stunned time and time again about how many people are truly sheep.
Oh, yeah.
Truly fucking sheep.
Oh, yeah.
Bro, it's why, jokes aside, it's why I started the whole Maverick thing. The one, like, core of, like, who I am is, like, yeah, I really am different. Like, when they go right, like, I really do go left. Here's a perfect example. We get off the plane from London, about 500 people going down this skinny alleyway to go into customs. And I noticed there's a blockage. A lot of people at the front were stopping, and I'm like maybe 15 feet back, and I see like the commotion. I'm like, why are we stopped moving? Like, what? This is weird. I know how deboarding a plane works. I've never been clogged here, maybe at customs, but this was right after, and I heard some rumblings. They're like, yeah, the escalator's blocked off. It's not working. The escalator's blocked off. We got to take the elevator. I look at the elevator, bro. This fits four people at a time. To go up one floor. I'm like, what the? The escalator's blocked off. In my head, I already knew what this meant. There's a cone in front of it or something, right?
Yeah.
So I skirt to the front, finagle around some people. I see, bro, there's a fucking sign. A sign in front of the escalator. I look back. There's 500 people, some still on the plane, just waiting in line for four people to go up and down this escalator to get everyone to the next spot.
What did the sign say?
Do not use.
No, it's just like out of order or some shit. I go, I moved the sign, and guess what I did?
You walked.
I walked up the fucking
escalator. Well, there's being a maverick and doing it different than there's being a criminal. What you just described right there. you're a fucking convicted felon.
No.
Like, you fucked up.
Because guess where the fucking traffic started moving when everyone was like, what? Why are we?
Okay, look at
this. See, see, here's where, here's where the story
here. Just started going up the escalator.
No, 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 yes. Children. Yes. 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 Yes.
Yes. Yes. I never saw the sun.
He's looking at custom and he's like, oh shit, now I get it.
That's exactly what I was gonna say.
There's an exposed exposed wire on the handle. He two old ladies follow him up, they all touch at the same time and turn into the electric, they get electrocuted on the fucking thing.
Right, maybe it was there for a reason. I feel you, but also I've lived a decent amount of life and I know for a fucking fact. No properly working airport would expect a plane of 500 people to go up four at a time.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I'm on a fucking elevator. It made no sense. And not one person was like, this is extremely irrational. And I'm just unwilling, dude, for those conversations.
Different story. You want to teach a motherfucker a lesson. I'm following you up the escalator. What you did was you taught the airport a lesson. I don't like when they pull that shit. Like there's another example. Oh,
you're like Tony Robinson.
Ready for this? Because he struck a nerve. No, he struck a fucking nerve.
Don't fucking talk to me.
He struck a nerve on me. You wanted me to tell you the number one thing because that's bad. But you want another one? The one thing. You ever been driving home from a club experience, a nice dinner? You've got yourself a girl next to you. You guys are on the way home.
Maybe I don't know what he's gonna say.
Maybe because me and him work with the same brain to an extent. Maybe you've got a group full of friends. Everybody's having the night of their lives. You get the music turned up. It's that song that's like by Pink. It's like, and we are not, but we are young. And everybody's just fucking amped up.
Vibing.
You do 60 miles an hour up the fucking ramp onto the highway. And as soon as you merge into the first lane, you are met with dead, stopped traffic.
Stand still.
And you look up to the front and there is a truck going 1 mile an hour, laying cones out. And there are 46 construction workers with jackhammers. They're not using them. They're standing there having a conversation. And you are just stopped. You have been funneled into a dead stopped traffic situation.
You took it to a spot that actually made sense where people should slow down. I'm gonna be honest with you. Any construction or hazards, don't slow the fuck down. Here's what you shouldn't slow down for. If there's a fucking fender bender on the right side of the highway, dude, this is where I thought you were going.
No, it's not. Here's the difference. The idea that you can be stopped for an hour on the highway with no exit. You can't get off. My wife is pregnant. She's having a child.
That's not what I'm saying.
Well, maybe it's different than what I'm saying.
I'm talking about herd mentality, not like a thing to actually like follow safety. You know what I'm saying? A herd mentality like...
I just don't... I feel like my civil rights have been violated when I'm forced to sit in a fucking construction zone for
double,
hours.
You get fined double if you get caught speeding in a... And I think it might even be double points in a construction zone. It's actually a serious thing. You should not speed past construction
zones. So sorry, Mr. fucking DMV over here.
When I was looking at my impulsive notes, I saw one that I wanted to bring up months ago and I never got to. And I'll bring it up now.
Oh my God, what?
We need to move on. My biggest thing I ever wanted was when you were in Dubai and a fan was like, I love you, Logan. Here's a Rolex. You remember this?
No.
What?
You don't remember this?
But if you say I turned down a Rolex, I know this ain't me.
I'm at Jake's boxing event and some dude came up to me and he hugged me. And he's like, bro, you fucking rock, blah, 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 this and that. And I was like, oh, thanks, dude. He's like, no, dude, you don't understand, bro. He's like, actually, he talked about me talking about God. And it was really cool. He's like, I really reflected on that. He's like, really cool. He's like, I fucking love you. And he took off his Rolex. He's like, bro, take this. And I grabbed it. I was like, oh, this is the moment. I've been so excited because I'm such a cheap ass. I can't buy myself a Rolex. I can't. And when I saw this, I go, this is a gift from God. Like, this is it. Because I always talk about Jesus. And I go, this is my little gift. And I leaned in and I was about to put it on me. And he was like, yeah. And he went, yeah. Yeah. I smelled alcohol on him. And I was like,
oh, no.
I was like, my man, are you fucking drunk? And he's like, yeah, man. I'm fucked up right now. I go, fuck, man. And I like gave it back to him. I'm like, bro, I can't take it. You're fucked up. He goes, you sure, man? I go, yes. I go, now put it in your pocket and go home. He's like, all right, man. Oh. This is why you're a good guy. And I was like, all right, bro. But fuck, I was at a fucking Rolex, dude. It was pretty cool. Reed was there for
that. Was that at the airport too? Just curious.
No, that was at Jake's boxing event.
I have one more airport stuff.
Oh, my
God. Some guy tried to take a picture of me when I was fucking peeing, bro. When I was peeing, I was pissing. I was I was in the urinal,
in the airport or on the plane?
Airport in the urinal.
Got it. And he wanted to take a picture of your
No. Not wanted to. I'm standing there peeing. I turn behind. This guy's like this close to me.
How is this not the first fucking thing you said?
Huh?
How is this not the first story?
Because it doesn't have a really good ending.
I take him.
Other than,
I gotta know the ending.
Well, look, bro, it's not awkward because I'm like, I'm peeing, bro. You can't stop midstream. Everyone knows how hard that is.
That's terribly hard.
It's one of the worst things. I'm like this. Hey. Fuck you. Fuck. I can't do anything.
You should have turned and peed on him.
Oh my God.
You're like, you want a picture? Picture this, bitch. And just fucking.
Yeah, you're a weirdo. But yeah, I was like looking at Kelly. I was like, hey, what the fuck? Did you say I would have R. Kelly that motherfucker?
A lot of people are going to get pissed off with that joke.
I say the same thing every time R. Kelly gets wrecked. Kayla knows. Oh, God.
You're in trouble, brother.
I'm always in trouble, dude.
You're in trouble, brother.
Just remember, on this podcast, it's Mike.
Twice?
You're in trouble?
You're in
trouble.
Oh, it took me six times. I'm dyslexic. Good fucking
Logan.
One.
Logan.
Wow, that was really good. So
I turn around. Finish my pee. I go, yo, delete that right fucking now, you little weird pervert. You fucking weirdo. Do you know how weird that is? Because I'm studying this for my brother. I go, I don't give a fuck who it's for. You fucking weirdo. You little weirdo. And
how old was he?
Probably
six.
Mid-40s.
Grown man.
He goes,
at what point do you beat somebody up?
So that's what I'm wondering. Because now everyone's looking and I'm angry. And I go, you're a grown ass fucking man taking a picture of another grown man peeing in the urinal. Do you not think that's weird? That's always my go-to.
Yeah, I was about to say, how many fucking times have you told somebody?
Well, because it keeps happening.
Don't you think that's weird? That's your quote. We're going to write that on his tombstone.
It keeps happening. Don't you think that's weird?
Want to hear something fucked up?
That was
wait, hold on.
No, it's classic.
It's right aligned with that.
I took his phone as usual. It was locked this time, so I had to get him to use his facial thing to unlock the phone. Delete his thing, going to recently deleted. It's a whole 60-second thing that I just, and I saw the picture.
Was it good?
No, it's fucking me peeing in a urinal, like looking back. Like, what the fuck
was your tutu showing?
My pee-pee, no. Which would be really bad, bro. I don't want anyone to see how small my penis is.
Tiny. Somebody tried to do it to me I think also at one of the fights we were just at. Came up, goes, man, I want to ask for a picture, but it seems like a weird spot. Oh, give me the phone. Well, I was at the urinal and took a selfie with me pissing with him in the back. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just a little bit different. I just honestly don't give a maverick,
I just
don't care, dude. I don't give a fuck. But I understand. You're definitely the right one in the scenario.
How mad would you be if you were taking a shit and you just see like
That's where I draw the line.
I want to talk about something.
Talk about it, buddy.
The Howie Mandel episode.
That was the best episode
we've ever done.
Howie Mandel, I decided.
Ever.
I said, I think he was the best guest ever. I've decided he's the best guest ever.
Steamrolled us, didn't let us say shit.
Yeah, go watch that episode.
Yep. He was fucking hilarious. And by the way, I was so caught off guard. I didn't think he had that type of humor.
I just have like stories. It's been a while.
Good. Let it go. It's like we're on a podcast or something.
100%.
All right. This one. All right.
Don't even say that it might not make
Do you know Gary?
Which one?
The one who sold me the Pokemon card? You were there.
Oh, yeah.
He's a fucking...
I know the Pitbull guy.
He's the fucking legend in the space. He sold me my $150,000 Charizard that you're actually holding right there. Wow. That's not the card, but that's the card that I bought from this guy, Gary. It's a PSA 10 Charizard. I bought it for $150,000 from him.
Yep.
And fuck, only the collectors are really going to like get this story and like...
one day it'll be told in its entirety, but I don't even know.
Does that bother you that one of the people watching the show falls asleep? Does he, it? Get, I
can follow the story. No. He falls asleep everywhere. That's Dave. I've seen him sleep in the middle of a tornado, in the center of the tornado. So I don't know how he got there and was safe, but he's talking about the Pokemon card
from Gary right now. Well, now he's not talking about
it. Wait, hold on. Dave sleeps.
Yeah.
This is like, okay.
You should get your blood checked. Is that a thing if you fall asleep?
All right, fuck. Okay. No. This is like a bit of a thing. All right. Gary sold me a PSA 10 first edition Charizard. There's only like 120, maybe 121 in the world. I went in there with the intention of buying one of his BGS 10 Charizards. There's only two in the world. I've always wanted a BGS 10 Charizard, right? And I just didn't know how to get it because the only guy with both of them is Gary. And he would not sell that to me. And so he sold me this PSA 10 Charizard. And I'm looking at this card on the way home from Vegas. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, yo, this fucking card is perfect. I don't know how. He mentioned that he tried to get PSA to cross it over to a BGS 10. It's called a crossover, and oftentimes it fails.
Yeah.
I'm assuming because they're competitors, and like if a PSA 10 crosses over to a BGS 10, what does that do to the novelty of to the market? Yeah, you know, it's got it's the market. It's scarcity. You got to keep it thin. And so I'm like, damn, he tried to cross it over. That's crazy because it didn't work. And I'm looking at this card and it's perfect. And I wonder why it didn't work. I wonder if there's like some sort of like inherent beef between the companies, whatever. But I thought to myself, I wonder what would happen if I cut this card out, this $150,000 card out of the PSA case and submitted it as a raw card.
Oh, that's risky. Cause what if they like go, oh, it's a 7 now six.
Not only that, they can downgrade it.
But what if it goes?
No. What if when you take out the $150,000 card from the PSA slab, because it's not a super clean process. You have to use like wire cutters and like a screwdriver. Now I know. If you nick that fucking thing,
it's over.
This much, you lose $100,000 like this.
Yep.
So I'm like, fuck it, bro.
What?
I'm that dude. Fuck it. I'm going to try to cut this out of the case and risk losing my investment and my prized possession.
For us, how much more would it go if it would the win? You're risking it. What's the win?
Well,
how much more of a difference?
Later on in the story.
Yeah. I mean, now it's like $1 million card, bro. I walked out with that card to the Floyd Mayweather fight, but I'm getting there. So I cut this card out. Surgical. I practiced.
What? It was one of the scariest things I've ever seen. he's standing there with what equates to like a giant wrench, like a purple or that
a fucking screwdriver and bolt cutters.
And he goes, he takes it and he's bending the durability of the fucking case with this thing. And everybody, there's like 10 people huddled around, their eyes bulging out of it. And it goes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, and you're going to see this video at some point. I don't know why it's still in this. We filmed this probably fucking 18 fucking months ago.
Well, the only reason I bring it up now is because
he did something, right? What happened?
That's why.
wait, what
I
happened?
Saw this.
I'll tell you. So I fucking flew to Texas. I submitted it to BGS as a raw card. It got graded a fucking 10. It became the third BGS 10 in the world. Probably 5X the value right there. It was like a good luck charm to me. I felt like that day, I just felt so like, just like happy and grateful that I was able to do something kind of bold and it fucking worked. It fucking worked.
Yeah.
And why I hadn't brought it up or posted this video is because like, I'd assume, and I'll just be honest with you, there were a couple of things. One, I'd assume this is kind of frowned upon in the industry. People have done it, but I don't know if anyone as like public about the space has done it.
But why is it frowned upon?
Well, I don't know. I haven't like talked to anyone about it. Like, I don't know. I just wonder if people will think it's like a scummy move. But like, okay. I'm gonna be honest with you. I work smarter, not harder. And if I'm willing to sacrifice my $150,000 card for a bias that I think may have taken place on the grading, because guess what, bro? Guess who grades these cards? People. And maybe one day the grader is feeling a certain way and grades it a little higher higher than they would the next day. Maybe it's a different grader. It's not a perfect science. And so I fucking gambled and I fucking won. And like, I love the community and obviously collecting and everything and my card. And so I've been very delicate with how I weave this story. And so the first time I showed that I had this card was the Floyd Mayweather fight. And you can imagine Gary sitting there, because this was my second concern.
Can I do it?
No, this was my second concern, bro. I have a lot of love for this guy.
He's so nice.
He's like the grandfather of the space. And so my second concern was like, fuck, bro, what is Gary going to think?
Play bar.
Like, how do I tell this to Gary? Because he even asked me about it before the Mayweather fight. And I beat around the bush because I didn't want to reveal that I had the card, because my reveal was the Mayweather fight. Yeah. I just wasn't unwilling to spoil that for anyone. And so I didn't lie, but I beat around the bush. And I saw a video of him speaking on it recently. And ooh. I didn't know, because he never told me how he like really felt about it. Because think about it, bro. He had two of the only BGS10s in the world. Now there's a third. And yeah. I have it. I could see how that could, and it used to be his card.
Okay.
Do you see how that could maybe upset him a little bit?
Not even a little bit.
Why? Wait, you can,
that's
you,
greedy.
No,
bro.
Hold on a sec. You clearly can see how
I
that
cannot,
could upset.
I cannot. If I can never look at somebody ready else for succeeding this? More.
You're the only person in the world with a 10-foot cock. Only person in the entire world.
I can't. No.
All of a sudden, somebody else comes around and they have one too, and you can't see why that would upset this person just a little bit.
I will never in my life ever be upset at that shit.
I know you wouldn't, but you can at least see. Nope. George, fucking see.
Admit that
George,
you
for
see.
The fucking admit nature of the show, see. Admit no. that you
admit
can.
Admit you could see what we're talking about.
I will not see anything. I will not. I'm not going to play that game. Fuck that. No, if I gave you anything, right, and you bought it with your hard-earned money and you're like, yo, I want to buy this, and I sold it for the price that I wanted it, and you chose to do something to make it more valuable and you succeeded in that, what kind of person would look down at the art space,
man? Well, guess what? Guess what? I wasn't sure what he was going to think. He didn't take that sentiment. He
got mad?
No. He's a fucking angel.
He saw like how I saw it.
Yes.
He
God bless him.
He mentioned in his video, he goes, yo, when I sold the card to Logan and when I just watched his follow up, he said something like, I could see the kid cares. Like he really gives a fuck about collecting Pokemon cards in the space. And because I really do. And so I think if there were going to be a person to have that card is me. Because guess what, bro? Guess what? I ain't selling that fucking card ever. Put it in my fucking coffin, bro. I'm never, ever selling that card. And so like, Gary, I'll see you in Vegas. We're gonna
hang out with Gary.
We're gonna link up in Vegas and just hang out and stuff. And I just trust, you know, it's the card is safe with me, as you know.
How crazy is it to know that
hard cut $1 million? No. I'll be homeless with my fucking shopping cart, a little tent made out of plastic bags, and my Charizard.
How crazy is it to know that that's not the. That's not even the craziest Pokemon story. I'm not saying that we could say shit, but I'm just saying, like, wait, isn't that wild to imagine that what the story you just told is paled dramatically by a story that you will tell in the next thing? And this will only matter to Pokemon fans out there, but like, you guys have your brains cannot even begin to fathom what has occurred. I won't even begin to spoil or try to make you understand.
It's large. I was going to say this. I'll say it now. It feels like a good spot for all my fans and people who care about me and watch my moves and follow this podcast. My inactivity on social media is not indicative of my activity in real life. Mm. I've been working very hard and very smart, moreover, on some really big things behind the scenes. And like, y'all see me traveling. You think I'm just traveling? You think I'm just going on vacation? I don't fucking do vacations.
You think he's doing vacations?
I don't do vacations. This is a vacation. Puerto Rico's
right
here? This is home for me. Vacation. It feels like a vacation. It's the most beautiful spot on the planet. And so I live here. If I want to go on vacation, I'll just come back home.
Yeah. I got you.
And so I think the world's going to be torqued a little bit by some of these announcements I have
crazy
in the,
shit
in the coming months.
And I had this written down. This is the perfect segue. So people saw you, and obviously, you know, the world knew that you were completely locked in, clocked in, training your ass off for Floyd. you had the utmost purpose and were completely focused on one goal and one goal only, and that was that fight. You walked out of that fight and became obsessed, manically driven to complete this next project, which is yet to be revealed, yeah. which you will reveal. I know that your work on said project is coming to an end within the next how many?
35
days. And you will, for the first time in a long time, be without a singular purpose. I'm sure there's a broad purpose and you always have a broad goal, but have you started to envision what life looks like for you after this next project has come to an end? Like, do you intend on getting into something else, or are you just going to be just blowing in the fucking breeze?
No, well, I think these things yeah. that I'm going to.
Yeah, the things. I just mean like.
I think they'll become like me. Like, that's where my energy will go. I mean, bro, this project I'm working on now, although it ends in 35 days, is like a. It'll be for the rest of my life. I'll always be working on it.
I just mean that obsessive nature. Like, I mean,
that's how I do things. It's, yeah. You know, I become obsessed with something. I do it to the best of my ability. And then if I like it, I'll probably do it forever. And this particular thing is, of most things I'm kind of discovering now, I will.
I'm obsessed with Chicago.
It's a nice place.
Oh, yeah. What's up with that? Why are you flying around to Chicago with your ex-girlfriend?
Who's about to have a baby with a guy that's not you.
We can't say.
Listen, men. Contrary to popular belief, I'm a very nice person. I'm a good friend. And when I become friends with someone or have any kind of relationship with them, that person becomes part of my life. And I'll have their back regardless. And Amra hit me up. I put out a video. What? What's going on there? Why are you smashing the mic?
I just like the noise.
Oh, do it again. That actually is pretty.
That's cool, right?
Does it sound like crutches getting hit together? Do it again. Right?
Shut up.
Right, I'm sorry.
Sorry, Mike.
But I was here for the comparison. I was trying to think if there's a better one. She hits me up last week. She's like, "Yo, I'm gonna move to Chicago. I want to have the child there with my family around." And we maintain like some level of contact, a little bit of talking here and there, just because we're friends now. We have a friendly relationship. And she was like, "I'm gonna move via vehicle with my 8-month pregnant belly, my two dogs, one of which is an oversized Doberman, and three ducks, and all of my belongings in a Range Rover by myself on a 5-day journey across the United States of America." And I said, "I don't think that's a very good idea to do that."
I've done a cross-country trip.
Pregnant?
Not even pregnant. With one bird. When I first moved to LA, not three ducks, yeah, three two dogs, ducks. One of which is a fucking 100-pound Doberman, and an 8-month pregnant belly. The logistics of this never made sense, and they never will. And I said, "This is impossible. Where's she going to put the ducks at night? In a hotel?"
Not to mention, you know, what we could comfortably consider a profile that doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
That isn't conducive.
No security, by the way.
No
right?
security. That isn't conducive to a 5-day singular journey across the United States. So I was like, "Dude, I'll escort you." And so I was like, "I'll ride with you in the truck." And then I was like, "You know what? Now that I think about it, I don't want to fucking do that. I don't want to ride in a Range Rover with three ducks, two dogs, a pregnant ex-girlfriend, and David the fucking German video, because I got to shoot this."
I told him, for selfish reasons, I think you should raise the baby. I think you should.
David hates
David
it.
Goes,
I think you should. I think y'all should reconvene, raise that baby, and make the content, because I want to see that shit. That's wild. That's fucking wild, bro.
At the very long story short, so we got a PJ and flew to Chicago with the ducks, and the guy told us it wasn't the weirdest thing. He said he had once seen a horse go into a private jet, so it wasn't that weird.
A fifth of the size.
Did he say a horse go on a private jet?
He's saying it happened. He's saying it was a horse made it on the PJ. But went to Chicago, got her set up at her new crib. And, you know, I think no matter what happens, I think like I do really still care about the girl and care about her well-being. And we had a discussion, me and David Post, about the leaving, because we were in Chicago for all of 23 hours, about this idea of being friends with your exes.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, but probably after I deliver what I was just saying. Okay. But you can, or I'd happily let you jump.
I think you should deliver.
Respectfully, $1,000. You move to Chicago. I'm placing the bet right now. $1,000.
Poor place before that bet.
I'm just saying.
But I'm okay. I'm here for it. I don't get too upset with people in general. So, but
see what you did.
Fuck, you did
that. See what you did. That's why. That's why you can't do that, Georgie. Sorry. You gotta let him go.
So, yeah. So what I was just gonna say was, there's this. Excuse me, Quinn. You're on my. Okay,
Quinn's here. By the way,
see now, look what happened.
Oh, you can't hear anything.
That wasn't my fault. That was the dog's fault. I guess this would have been a great placement for me
here,
to say that.
Stick it in.
I'm placing a wager for $1,000.
No, I'm not going to Chicago. Listen.
Wait.
No, go ahead.
Speaking of wagers, I got a special on the Barstool Sportsbook. It's called Logan Paul's UFC 268 special. Kamaru Usman, absolute beast. Tyron Woodley came on this podcast, said he was fighting Usman, and Usman destroyed him. That's when he was put on the map, so... we got a special for you guys again on the Barstool Sportsbook. Let's see what it is. It's a bet up to a maximum $100 on my special bet. Usman by KO. Fairly confident. His last two fights were by KO and they boosted it to 268 plus 268. I do have to say this. Offer expires 11/6. Additional terms and conditions apply. See the app for details. It must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, or Virginia to bet. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER in Tennessee or call or text in Tennessee, the Tennessee Red Line, telephone number 800-899-789. Thank you guys for the Barstool Sportsbook. Love being a part of the family. Back to the program.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I've just been going over this idea of the idea of just being friends with someone that you once were romantically involved in. And I know that for the most part, this is considered a big no-no.
What's considered a no-no?
Well, just people have a lot of trouble with the idea of separating feeling from friendly relationship.
Well, Mikey, how friendly are we talking? Because... as far as I know, it's still a little hanky panky taking place.
Bang, bang, bang. In Mike's defense, off camera, he's always fucked. No, you've always came to her, you know, and you didn't publicize it. You didn't do it for profits. You didn't do it for views. He was always by her side. And you know what? At the end of the day, bro, you are a really good human being. And you know that she's by herself in a situation and you are being an amazing guy.
Yeah, facts.
But just clickbait on the way there. So that way, you know, you're getting paid.
I just saw the title of that vlog. It was the most fucking actually ridiculous YouTube title I've ever seen in my life. And this is coming from someone who's fucking ridiculous. Now that I'm removed, I can go, this is absurd. Please say the title of your last vlog.
I moved in with my pregnant ex-girlfriend.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And there was a for sale sign behind us on a fake house, CGI house. And it fucking this video. Now take it from some. All right, quickly. All views are down right now. Creators back out. School, all it's back to school and it's the end of COVID. We've been trying to figure this out for weeks now. Why are YouTube and Twitch and all these views down? And it's discouraging. You remember how discouraging it could be when even industry wide views are down. And boy, I posted this pregnant ex girlfriend move in video and that motherfucker went sailing. That thing went straight to the moon, dude. Yeah. YouTube said, put it right on trending. The thing was pushing for number one by midnight last night. I was like, I'm going to trend number one with this bitch, dude. And of course, it's all Lana. Make no mistake. Like,
but your guys' dynamic is pretty fucking fun to
So
watch.
That's the funny thing.
It is
when, pretty when you remove her, my videos get decent views. Her videos get decent views. But when the two of us combine, we got a cool dynamic. But
what platform do her videos get decent views? Because the platform that I watch her on, they get fucking tons of views, bro.
Talking about someone's mother.
What?
Not yet. And guess what? Even when she has that baby, I will still be having this exact same conversation. Risk reward, brother. You make a lot of money, but when you fuck on camera, there's some things you sacrifice.
I think that it's what you're going to see right now is you're going to see the very first child of the OnlyFans generation. You are watching what could be considered trend setting and pace setting for what will be the rest of this world for the rest of this you know, chunk of society.
Who else has done?
I mean, not on her level.
No.
But as you continue to see, and by the way, this is yes. This kid will have to be raised in a bit of an unconventional manner, and I'm sure that conversation will take place. But I believe that what it will create is a kid. Hopefully, it goes the other way, and it creates a kid that is extremely compassionate and empathetic towards the idea of people and life changing.
It could go both ways.
Both ways. But I think that with the right parenting, you actually could raise a child that could lead.
I know.
In compassion and empathy, and say, you know, because listen, there's going to be those low hanging fruit bullies out there. Of course, there's going to be. And I think if raised the right way, this child could set the precedent for saying, well, I appreciate your joke and I'm happy that you found that funny, but you know, I'm going to continue moving out of my life now. And I'm going to be a successful kid raised in to be smart and to be driven against what you think of me. You know what I'm saying? It's interesting.
To God that happens. I really do.
Yeah.
I pray with all of my heart that kid figures it out.
If he's a spectacular kid and a confident kid,
sure,
it won't matter at all.
Right.
If someone said that to me, I mean, fuck.
But
if someone said this about Pam, if they go, your mom got fucked on camera by 10 guys.
Yeah.
I'd go, yeah, she did. That's my mom. You know, that's crazy.
My mom did. She did.
Robin, really?
So my mom was actually Debbie Does Dallas.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where are you?
From the 70s.
Wow, Robin. Yeah,
that's why she never cared about her.
Wow.
But listen, bro, we are witnessing what, like I said, will equate to the beginning of this trend of OnlyFans. Bro, listen, all these OnlyFans girls, all these porn stars, all these adult actresses, they're all going to get wifed up, man. They're all fucking hot as hell. Know how to throw down in the bedroom. You're telling me they're not all going to get knocked up? It takes a different type of man. I'm Tommy Lee, rock stars. Those are going to be the kind of people that say, yo, you think I give a fuck how many dudes you fuck? Because keep in mind, always remember, both in industry and out industry, the girl has fucked significantly less men than the girls that we know in LA. That's a scary fact.
Which is
That's
so wild. That's a
scary fucking fact. Far less.
It's just, which is far so less. Wild.
There's one person I'm thinking about right now that I'm like.
We are all thinking about her. We're not going to mention
bro,
it.
Of course.
Stop.
I have nothing but respect and admiration. Honestly, I'm like this. Wait a goddamn.
But is it? But all those girls are going to get wifed up. You go to New York, dude. The hot club, the hot bottle girls. You go to fucking Tuscaloosa, the girls that work the bar at fucking Johnny Nichols bar down the street. Dude, let me tell you something really quick. Guys aren't the only ones out there putting numbers on the scoreboard. If you're out there about to put a ring on a girl's finger, I'm going to tell you some pretty shocking news right now. She may have sucked a few dicks in her day. She may have been put on her back by quite a few motherfuckers in her day. As long as right now you're the only dude that she's fucking and you're sure of it, don't be a pussy. What the? You do it. I do it. He does it.
He's so right. But for me, bro, my stupid fucking little ego gets
in my
way.
It's just so weird.
It's so hard.
Dude,
it's so much easier said than done, bro.
Here's the thing. This is why I always tell people to not watch porn. It's to me, anything that over sexualizes could lead to a death of a situation, like a romantic relationship or a marriage or anything like that.
For
so
sure.
A girl got mad at me the other day and she goes, you know, you look down on women that sell nudes or sexual content for money, and we don't like how you look down on them. I'm like, listen, it's not a female I'm looking down on, equally for men, but also I tell men don't watch that stuff because it will poison the relationship.
Yeah, but make no mistake, male viewers of porn and even male actors in porn are not getting any kind of beating compared to what the women are enduring.
I'm not saying to do that.
Everybody
I'm
thinks it's funny. Tough. Everybody thinks that it's either funny or completely acceptable to go and jerk off to a girl who's being fucked on camera. And then, by the way, a lot of these kids, what they do is they jerk off to that girl and then they go to her Instagram account and write, you're a whore, under her picture. This is, bro.
That is so true.
Men are fucked, okay? And society and how they look at men's role in sexuality is fucked. We are given one of the most ridiculously absurd golden tickets to lay pipe as much as we want. And then when a girl is able to wife us up and lock us down, they say, wow, you did a good job. You changed his shitty ways and you made a man of him. And you were the best girl ever. But if we wife up a girl who's taken a few dicks in her life, we're simp ass.
What a spineless.
Spineless simp ass. Society's changing. And just to end cap it. First of all, I can't believe I'm having this conversation again because I thought it would have ended post breakup, but here we are again. I'm in no way.
You didn't think it was going to end post breakup. You took a cross travel trip with Ducks.
No, sorry. But this is deep as we're going on this conversation. I'm in no ways, you know, making a case for any pornography or any of that stuff to be, you know, given this green light and everybody say it's okay. I think people are right to have their reservations about it and to think about it in different ways. But I don't know. I guess my situation on it is like, it does suck that it's a death sentence. I sold crack. I sold heroin. No one gives a fuck. It's 10 years later. No one gives a fuck. Let some of these people put the demons in the fucking closet and move on with their life, dude. People deserve second chances.
Oh, I agree with that.
It's sad.
I always agree with that. And I always said that, like, yo, I thought it was really cool of you to be sticking around, helping out the situation and all that.
You hear that? You hear that tone? That's called pity, brother.
What?
You hear his tone?
No, it's not pity. Listen, so dude, it's really cool.
He knows a good friend.
Dude, he's with the girl. It's fine. I think it's cool. It could be cool. I'm just saying it's going to be tough for the kid. That's it.
Yeah.
And I pray that it's not.
No, it is. No, I think it is.
But
I think it's just going to be different.
The reason I speak of this is because there is probably a 13-year-old girl that's watching. And if I was completely like, yeah, no, she's completely fine. She's going to have no problems. And then she might make actions that even Lana wishes she never did.
100%.
So I just need to be vocal on my opinion on it.
I'm with you on that.
Respectful. Because I don't want to disrespect her. And listen, I love her. She's a great person. And I hope that everything works out in her favor.
I like Lana.
No, I'm with you on that.
I decided yesterday after hearing some stories that she could be, along with Jake Paul, one of the most entertaining people on the planet. If you remove all of your bias and you strictly watch from a, this is fucking crazy, just to be entertained, one of the best people. I'm here for the show, dude. Thanks for having me. I think we got all the bases covered. Yeah. We got Peter Schiff coming in about T-minus 17 minutes. So we're going to quickly do research on him because I have no idea what he does.
He loves gold. He does not like crypto.
Should be good. All right, guys. Well, another one down. Thanks for coming to Puerto Rico for Impulsive. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing. If you're not subscribed, make sure you hit that button for us. We love you. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.